Today we want to consider the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you had opportunity to look over the Friday email. I dealt a little bit with what we're going to be considering today. To me, again, one of the most mysterious statements in the entire Word of God is found in Hebrews 5. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. We're going to touch on that today and look somewhat at it to help us perhaps understand better that great condescension and submission of the Lord Jesus and how it is a pattern for us, obviously. If Jesus was in such great submission to his Father, we can certainly do no less than surrender our all to God through Jesus Christ. So I'm reading verses 32 through 34 of Mark 10 for our text. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. This is the word of the Lord, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask for your help. We ask for the ministry of the Spirit to open the Scriptures to our hearts and minds. Lord, do your work in us and bring glory to Jesus Christ and help us to see from his perfect example of submission to you all those areas in our life that lack it and we still need to be submitted. And Lord, give us the grace to do so because we love you, not out of any fear of you, not out of any morbid fear of your judgment, but because we love you, as Jesus demonstrated his obedience because of his great love for you. And we ask it all in his name and for his sake. Amen. First of all, in verse 32, as they're traveling up to Jerusalem, it strikes me that it says they were both amazed and afraid. They were amazed as they saw Jesus do mighty works, no doubt, as he continued to do miracles, as he continued to teach them. They were amazed, no doubt, at his teaching. And we read over and over again in the gospel accounts that people were certainly amazed at his doctrine, right? And they said, is this not the carpenter's son? And they said, where did he get his learning? So certainly that wasn't only the reaction of the multitudes, but at least for a good while into his ministry, it was the reaction of the disciples themselves. But what is this about them being afraid? Well, I think it sets the stage for, it's in the context, obviously, and it sets the stage for Jesus once again reminding the disciples what is facing him, what he is going to do eventually, and that is surrender his life as an atonement for his people. And so they are amazed at his power, and yet they're afraid at his prediction of his suffering. He says it again. He said it already several times in Mark's gospel up to this point, even as recently as chapter 8 in our copies of the scripture, and yet they still don't understand all that. So while they're amazed at his teaching and at his very presence and his works, they're also afraid as he talks about dying. Afraid of losing him, and also afraid of what will become of them when he's gone, if indeed all these things do happen as he has said. So what we want to look at today then, in the submission of Jesus Christ, and by the way, that's how I'm dividing up this chapter. I've told you that as we began chapter 10. We looked at, first of all, the sanctity of marriage, the first part of the chapter. Then we looked at the subjects of the kingdom. Then the sacrifice of discipleship. We just finished up last week, verses 17 through 31. Today is the submission of Christ, submission to the Father's will. So we're going to look, first of all, at his obedience. Then, secondly, at his endurance. And lastly, at his preeminence. His obedience. His obedience. Again, an amazing, amazing statement. Hebrews 10:7 quotes from the Psalms and applies it to Jesus, as Paul writes. And it says, Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Those were the words written and spoken by David, but prophetic of its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I have come to do your will, Father. In other words, I've come to submit. I've come to obey. Now, I want us to take a quick hop through John's Gospel, and if you don't turn to all of them as I turn to them, that's fine. Just jot them down for yourself later on.